Near FM.
The Week in Review with Declan Ralph. For stories you haven't heard anywhere else on the radio this week.
Hi there and welcome along to The Week in Review. I'm Declan Ralph. As usual today, I take a look at the stories that affect us, but you won't have heard much about them anywhere else on the radio this week. So I'll be looking beyond the stories that you usually hear about, and instead I'll feature groups that you may know or you might be interested in. Indeed, you might even be involved with them. I feature stories too about groups that represent and advocate for minorities in our community and further afield. And of course, we'll have those local stories that affect you as well. Now, if you would like me to feature something on the programme or you just simply want to get in touch this afternoon, well, you can contact me via the text line. While we're on the air, the text line is open. It's 087 69 44 500. That's 087 69 44 500. You can email weekinreview at near.ie and you'll get me on Twitter at nearfm, at Declan Ralph, hashtag weekinreview. Now, coming up shortly, the local stories with Ken Northside Schools Shine at the 7th Annual PE Expo. We can go to the beach again. Yes, even in the rain. Ballymun Lanes to get €30,000. The back lanes, that is. Remember them? Maybe when you were growing up, there was back lanes. The new housing estates don't have them at all. DCU students go live this week and Fingal HomeFit bounces back. On an island of storytellers and in a city where books are treasured, the International Literary Festival is Ireland's leading literary event. It also has one of the world's richest literary prizes at over €100,000, which is solely sponsored by Dublin City Council. Programme director Martin Colthorpe talks to me about all of that in about 10 minutes' time. Just after one then, Sarah will be here to have a look at the events taking place over the next few days. And after that again, did you know that the most recent Irish census showed there were 72 languages with at least 500 speakers of each in Ireland? These, along with arts and culture, will be the heart of celebrations taking place this coming week as part of the Mother Tongues Festival. The festival is the only one of its kind in Ireland and embraces the use of all the various languages spoken by people right across the country. A programme of unique and diverse events in over 20 different mother tongues will take place as part of the festival, which runs from May 17th to May the 22nd. And Sarah catches up with the director of the Mother Tongues Festival, Francesca Lamorgia, at about 1:15. Each week too on the programme, before I finish, I'll let you know about the jobs and volunteering opportunities that are available locally. I take these from the activelink.ie website, where each and every week there are literally hundreds of opportunities. Local stories with Ken Kilbride. So Ken, the first story you have for us today is about Northside Schools and the Northside Schools Shine at the 7th Annual PE Expo, is that right?
Indeed, yes. It's the Physical Education Awards, and it's a joint initiative of DCU and Healthy Ireland, so it's a PE Expo.
Great.
So Mount Temple had two winners, Harry Savar for his wellbeing app, and Ella McCormick and Ella Travers for a project on developing mini games for child development. In the senior cycle physical education section, the winner was Thembi Nkosi, and she's a fifth year student at the Trinity Comprehensive School in Ballymun. And her project run the South African intersex athlete Caster Semenya. And she said the World Athletics came up with a ruling that women with different in sex development would have to reduce their testosterone levels if they wanted to compete, said Nkosi of her project. Yet testosterone doesn't work the same way in women as it does in men. And she says these are the people who don't want athletes to take drugs. Yet if you're intersex, they say you have to take drugs and it doesn't make sense. She also makes the point that not everyone is born equal when it comes to our physical abilities. And she says, take Michael Phelps as an example. He's a human fish. He should have been banned because his arms are extra long. So Nkosi concludes that intersex women should be allowed to compete with other women since they will never reach the same standard of men. And she says, they were born that way and it's not as if they were trying to have a disadvantage. Interesting argument. Not sure I agree with everything, but, you know, fair dues for putting it out on the table and, you know, scooping that award.
Yeah, and do you know what's interesting, Ken, is recently it was mentioned somewhere and I only realised, you know, when you think about it, oh, I never thought about that, but it's actually true. One of the only sports, if not the only sport, where women compete with men on an equal footing is horse racing, jockeys.
And, yes, Rachel Blackmore is wiping the...
Yeah, wiping the boards. And, like, it's interesting, isn't it? So maybe that's another argument the other way.
Indeed, but then also then out in Sutton Park... Ella Walsh and Ava Uzunova won the Junior Award for the Sports Psychology category on their project using the visualizations in sport. And taking the Senior Award for the Parasport category were Lauren Quinn and Shauna Brannigan from St. Mary's Holy Faith in Glasnevin for the comparison of gender retention rates in sports and how many boys versus girls drop out of sport during their school years. I'm interested to see that one because, you know, I read a report 10 years ago on that, and the amount of girls that drop out to go into secondary school is alarming, to be honest.
Yeah.
And in the ICT and sports photography section, St. Joseph's Rush won a senior award for their project on the gamification of defence. Donaghy's Community School took home an award for the with the Irish Heart Foundation for having the greatest number of entries. Among them was one, Should Kids Head of Football, which is going to be an interesting debate going forward. So again, congratulations to them. There was actually a couple of schools won the awards on the south side. So congratulations to them as well, but we don't need to go into details there. But I think what this shows is, you know, that students on the north side are probably smarter and fitter than their Celtic compatriots on the south side.
We'll take that one as well. Now, I knew this was going to come up this week because I did hear we try to do stories that are not featured in the mainstream news. And while this general story was, the specifics that you're going to talk about certainly wasn't. And it wasn't. And it's about water quality and the fact that for sure now we can go to the beach.
So again, bathing water quality improved in 2020 compared to the previous year, with 96% of bathing areas meeting or exceeding the minimum standard for cleanliness, according to the latest annual report from the Environmental Protection Agency. And the EPA has called on Irish Water to make improvements in the urban wastewater systems in an attempt to cut down on incidents of pollution. It also wants increased monitoring at busy beaches outside the traditional season of the 1st of June to the 15th of September, given the amount of people now swimming all across the year. And it says of the 148 designated beaches, 142 were found to have a water quality which was at least at the minimum standard in 2020. Meanwhile, 111 were classified as excellent, up from 107 the previous year. Now, on the downside, locally, Balbriggan Front Beach and Loughshinny Beach saw their ratings go down to poor, while four beaches in Fingal have been rated as excellent. So Portmarnock, Velvet Strand and Sutton Borough Beach retained their excellent status. I have to say, myself and wife and family went out there last Saturday afternoon and did get into the water, and it was quite good too.
Lovely.
While Rush South Beach and Donabate Barrack Beach saw their water quality rising from good to excellent. So congratulations to all them, and they're lovely beaches. And say, if you want to get out, that's where you got to go.
Well, you know, to use another water analogy, the glass is very much half full there with all of those, you know, 142 out of 148, you know, meeting the minimum standard, and 111 excellent, up from 107. So, you know, the glass is definitely more than half full there for sure. Now, your next story is about Ballymun. Ballymun lanes to get €30,000. Is this the lanes of traffic or the back lanes?
This is the back lanes.
Right.
So this is the Reclaim the Lanes project, and it's part of the Public Service Innovation Fund. And originally designed in the 1970s, the courtyard style of Poppendry was intended to create a permeable and easy access through its open laneways. However, over time, the laneways were gated due to antisocial behaviour. So this project will reclaim such areas as the laneways for public use and public space. And he's going to use a collaborative approach with the community groups in the area, local agencies and the DCC Cross Departmental Group. And it's hoped that this project, you know, if it works out, will give an example for other similar direct areas to be used. And the reason why I caught this one attention was last summer, this time in last year, I would have read a book called The Death and Life of American Cities by Jane Jacobs. And if you're ever going to read one book on urban planning, this is that book to read. And she wrote a chapter called Small Blocks, and it was all about the use of laneways. And it's really very interesting. So, again, it's going to be interesting to see how, you know, they put in the laneways, they close the laneways, they're going to reopen up. But if they don't put in sort of the structures around it to keep them open, well, then they're going to have the same problem 10 years from now.
They will.
So I think, we know, as I say, we mightn't be coming back to it this year, but we certainly will be coming back to that one.
Yeah, for sure. It's interesting. People living in newer housing estates won't know what you're talking about, because kind of back lanes are a thing of the past, really, aren't they?
Oh, they are indeed, yes. We've one out at the back and it's great.
Yeah.
But they put a gate on it, so...
Can't use it.
Wasn't sure about that when it happened.
Yeah, I have to say, where I grew up as well, we had a back lane. Actually, the access went down by the side of our house and round the back then, so... Yeah, as I say, it's a thing of the past. It'd be great to see them put to good use rather than just gated and sort of getting overgrown and so on. Now, moving on to the next story, Ken, DCU students go live this week.
So we're talking about the DCU Media Production Society, and they're running their 11th annual DCU TV 24-hour TV broadcast from the 17th to the 18th. And due to COVID restrictions, a number of students have committed to staying on campus for the 24 hours, during which they will produce live stream broadcasts in aid of the charity. And so the society has decided to hold the 21 event in support of the Rise Foundation, which is a charity founded by Senator Francis Black in 2009. So the Rise Foundation is focused on family members whose addictive behaviours, alcohol, drugs, gambling. The charity was suggested by committee members Kate Bork and Mark Moynihan. And they say the Rise Foundation is an extremely important organisation to many families who they've helped through addiction. And they say many people have forgotten the impact of addiction has not only on the person themselves, but on those that live with them and their loved ones. And Rise is focusing on helping those affected by their behaviour. And they say, like many other charities, the fundraising has been negatively impacted by COVID. So raising money for them at the moment is vital. And the Rise Foundation founder, Frances Black, expressed her gratitude to the students ahead of the event this week. And she says, we can't thank enough people. And I want to thank you all and your team for doing this. She says, it's our lifeline and that's really our reality. So DCU TV begins 9 o'clock Monday night. And if you want to watch, head over to www.dcu-mps.com.
Brilliant. Simple enough one to remember. Now, something we've talked about before on the programme is Fingal Home Fit, but it's bouncing right back right now.
Indeed, we've even had the programme. We had Noel McManus, who's the Fingal Community Sports Officer, on, you know, just to talk about this because it's such a good initiative.
Yep.
Fingal County Council sports officers are facilitating another free online four-week Home Fit live programming starting on Monday. And they say, due to the incredible participation take-up of 2,500 people who registered for the Fit Home Fit programme to date. So as I say, they're free, they're online, they're open for all level of abilities. These 30 to 4 minute fitness sessions are delivered by qualified coaches. There'll be three classes a week delivered live and online at 1 o'clock. And they include body, mind, movement, core and chair exercise classes. And I have to say at the moment, chair exercise classes is about where I am. Mayor of Fingal, Councillor David Kelly said, it's fantastic to see the incredible participation levels for the Home Fit programme. And it shows that there's demand for the community for this online exercise classes. And it's a credit to the Fingal County Council Sports Office. And again, congratulations. It's been a great initiative. And I think it's an interesting one. It has worked. Will they keep it going when COVID's no longer on the headlines?
Hopefully they will. I'm sure there'll be maybe some physical classes that we can get involved in somewhere. Great stuff, Ken. Thanks a million for all the stories this week and we'll talk to you soon.
Coming up next, I'm going to be chatting to Martin Colthorpe. Martin is the programme director with the International Literature Festival here in Dublin. But that's just after this. I heard a little bit of this last night and I said, you know what? Tomorrow I'm going to play more of this on the radio. Have a guess what it is. From 1965, that's Chris Andrews with the tune that ultimately became the theme tune for The Late Late Show. Thought I'd give that a whirl today. Now, welcome back to The Weekend Review. This is Near FM on 90.3. I'm Declan Ralph. And if you'd like to get in touch while the programme's on air, the text line is open. It's 087 69 44 500. That's 087 69 44 500. You can email weekendreview@near.ie and you'll get me on Twitter at Near FM, at Declan Ralph, hashtag Week in Review. Now, on an island of storytellers and in a city where books are treasured, the International Literature Festival Dublin is Ireland's leading literary event. And to chat about it now, I'm joined by the programme director, Martin Colthorpe. Martin, you're very welcome to the programme. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me on.
Not at all. So, I suppose, I know there's lots planned, but can you give us maybe some of the highlights that are planned for the festival this year?
Yeah, I think we've got a really diverse programme this year, covering different art forms, different styles of writing, different formats of events. It's hard to select just a few events from such a diverse programme, but I'm particularly looking forward to an event which we have on the 21st of May, which is about the artist Francis Bacon, who, of course, Was born in Ireland, but then spent most of his life in the UK. It's called Revelations, Francis Bacon, and it's with the authors of a wonderful biography, Mark Stevens and Annalyn Swan, and they're going to be in conversation with Colm Tóibín on the 21st of May at 8 o'clock. We've got a really great programme for young adults and children, and we're thrilled to be welcoming Angie Thomas in conversation with Britta B. That's also on the 21st of May. We've got some big literary names like Salman Rushdie, who'll be with us on Sunday the 30th of May. And, you know, as you'd expect, we've got some wonderful Irish writers from right across the literary spectrum, short story writers like Lucy Caldwell, the novelist Keith Ridgway, Sebastian Barry, the Irish laureate fiction, will be delivering his closing lecture as part of the laureateship on the 30th of May. And we have, you know, a wonderful event lined up with, I think, the next generation of wonderful Irish poets. That's called Halt, Open the Door, Ireland's Poetic Voices, on Tuesday the 25th of May. So it's, you know, a really diverse program for readers and writers of all ages and all persuasions.
Yeah, definitely. There's definitely something in there for everyone, all tastes, and indeed all ages, because there's a children's piece or section in this as well, isn't there?
There is, yeah. I mean, there's loads of ways in which families can interact with the festival. There are what we call Story Machine podcasts, which are being listened throughout the festival. There's lots of writing and drawing workshops for young people. There's a translating an event around translation for children's books. There's a wonderful program with children's authors. We have Owen Colfer on Saturday the 29th of May talking about his latest book, Meet the Fowl Twins. Drawing workshops, as I say, writing workshops, and, you know, all different ways in which you can engage with the festival online. So irrespective of the weather, it's a great place for families to be.
Indeed, yeah. It sounds, as you said, there's so... I was looking through all the various activities and events, and there really is so much. And you mentioned online there, obviously. It's a different world we're in. Hopefully we're coming out the right side of it. But how has it been putting it all online rather than having some physical events?
Well, I mean, we're quite used to this world now. We had our 2020 festival actually was rescheduled to October just last year. So we're very much in the groove, as it were, in terms of putting on online events. But for people who haven't perhaps been to a literary event online, I'd encourage people to visit the website, ilfdublin.com, and explore the programme, because what we're finding is that there's a wonderful community of people who are engaging with these events online via the chat room function. And there's a certain buzz about being able to interact with other audience members as the events are in progress. And often those people are tuning in from different parts of the world. So you get people who are interested in Irish literature tuning in from maybe Australia, America, different parts of Europe, the UK. You know, it's actually a very fun and interactive experience as opposed to sort of sitting quietly in a darkened theatre or venue. So, you know, there are challenges, of course, to putting on a different format, a festival like this, but there are also unexpected upsides and benefits.
And do you think you'll keep some of those benefits when maybe you get back to when you can have physical events again?
Absolutely. I mean, I think there are some authors who are maybe reluctant to travel nowadays, who, you know, we've been very privileged to bring to the festival. So a couple of particular examples would be someone like Vivian Gornick, you know, who's in New York and she's not able to come over, but she's, you know, a very, very special writer who I've been wanting to bring to the festival for many years, and she's in conversation with Sinead Gleeson at an event on Friday the 28th of May. And similarly, you know, one of my own favourite writers, Lydia Davis, will be joining us on the 21st of May, another American author who, you know, we might not have been able to bring over in normal times. And so I think we'll take a lot of learning out of this year and take it forward with us. I think there'll be more of a hybrid model in the future, where perhaps one author will join on screen internationally, and then you might have them in conversation with a moderator and an Irish writer on stage in Dublin. I mean, that's certainly something that we'll be exploring in the future.
Yeah, great. And it opens up, as you say, more opportunity to do that. And also during the festival, the world-famous International Dublin Literary Award is presented as well. Are you looking forward to that?
I am, of course, yes. We'll be revealing who the winner is at the announcement event on the opening day of the festival. That's Thursday, the 20th of May. So, you know, we're very excited about that collaboration. And of course, you know, I'd urge people to tune in. That's a free event and they can find out who's won. You know, it's, as you say, it's a very, very major literary award. And, you know, it's part of the... it's part of the fabric of Dublin's literary scene, as is the festival.
And I mean, that type of money, €100,000, is a significant prize, and I mean, would have a significant impact for the person who receives it.
Absolutely. And the beauty of this award is that the original long listing of books is made via selections from libraries across the world. So there's a kind of reader's input, if you like, into the award that you don't get with other, you know, international prizes. And as you say, the award can be won by writers, you know, from different stages of their career. But whoever wins it, it's such a generous award that it will have a very dynamic effect on their lives and on their writing practice. So, yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing for the city of Dublin.
Indeed, yeah. So the event is on from the 20th to the 30th of May. You've lots of, I noticed as well, and you might want to maybe tell me a little bit about some of them if you can. You've lots of supporters, partners and sponsors that help make this possible as well.
Yeah, I mean, our two key supporters are the Arts Council and, of course, Dublin City Council, who, you know, both organisations which put so much time and resources and, of course, money into supporting culture in Ireland and allowing it to thrive. And then we work with a range of literary organisations across Ireland, many of them headquartered in Dublin, people like Poetry Ireland and the Irish Writers' Centre. And then we also work a lot with international partners and with the cultural institutes and embassies in Dublin, and with increasingly with festivals abroad, you know, so we're working with the Seoul International Writers Festival. We're working with a venue in Lyon in France called Village Gilet. And that's one of the benefits, I guess, of moving online, is that we've been able to interact more on live streamed events with international partners. So, yeah, there's a huge range of people who help us to put the festival on.
Well, it sounds like there is something for everybody, and it sounds like it'll be thoroughly enjoyable for whatever part of it people choose to tune into or to take part in. Martin, just give us the detail again. What's the website address where people can get all the information?
Yeah, the website is ilfdublin.com. The festival is on from 20th to the 30th of May. And yeah, I'd advise people to take a look and see what they fancy. And we look forward to seeing people at the festival.
Thanks a million. Thanks a million, Martin, for that. And thanks for taking
the time.
Thank
you very much.
Take care. That's Martin Coulthorpe there, who's the programme director with the International Literature Festival, Dublin.
90.3. This is Mirrors FM.
And welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Week in Review. I'm Declan Ralph, and I'm here with Sarah Birmingham and Ken Kilbride. Now, still to come on the programme, at about a 1:15 or thereabouts, Sarah will be having a chat with Francesca Lamorgia, I think is how it's pronounced. She's the director of the Mother Thungs Festival, and we'll be hearing all about that. Also, before I finish up, I'll let you know about the jobs and volunteering opportunities that are available locally. Hiya, Sarah. Welcome to the programme.
Hiya, Declan.
How are you?
Thanks.
Great.
Good now, thanks. Yeah, looking for a bit of sunshine somewhere, but I'm sure we'll find it.
A little bit of sunshine would be lovely, wouldn't it? Now, Sarah, the events this week, the first one you have is about dancing your way through May with the Dublin Dance Festival.
Yeah, great to see the Dublin Dance Festival back. Obviously, they would normally do kind of a month-long programme throughout May in normal times, and we're getting back there. They're back with their summer editions, so they're offering 2 weeks of what they call fresh, daring and courageous dance. They're whirling their way into action this Tuesday, that's the 18th of May, and they're offering opportunities to kind of enjoy new performances from dance artists around the world. You know, they really are going with the theme of kind of hope, discovery and place. So lots of fun there, I'm sure, as we come into the summer. Dublin Dance Festival is bringing artists and audiences together live and virtually to create and share exceptional, provocative and relevant dance experiences, they say. So I'm intrigued to see how that translates into something to take part in. They say that you can immerse yourself in the creative process, dance documentaries, and you know, actually take part in some of their workshops and some of their interactive events and get moving yourself as well. So lots there. It's all happening at dublindancefestival.ie from Tuesday, and as they say, they have a full program which kind of spans a lot of virtual events and I think possibly, you know, one or two kind of outdoor installations as well. So well worth checking out at dublindancefestival.ie.
Yeah, certainly sounds like something to have a go at. All right. Now, we're still probably in the world of a mixture of virtual tours and real-life tours that we can do, but this, the National Library of Ireland are suggesting we can take a virtual tour of the world of Yeats and theatre.
They are indeed, yeah. So I guess it's kind of an exciting time, really, because the likes of the National Library, they're just starting to get back open. They're doing kind of appointment basis, I think, at the moment, so that you can kind of, you know, get your e-ticket in advance and have your time, and everything is kind of looked after like that. But also still, they're really reaping the best of what they've learned about the online kind of space over the last year. And they're offering virtual tours of some of their exhibitions. So I know they've really had a kind of a close connection with Yeats's work over the last couple of years, I guess. And the library, you know, as part of their kind of programme of events, they're hosting, you know, exhibition tours, virtual exhibition tours of that exhibition on the life and work of W.B. Yeats. So this particular one is taking place on Thursday, the 20th of May, hard to believe, through Zoom. And it's going to introduce all those in attendance to Yeats's work as a playwright and as a theatre maker and kind of explore the treasures, as they say, of the Yeats collection that the National Library have. So they have tickets available. It is a free event, as we like to say, taking place at 11 o'clock on Thursday. And you can get tickets for that, or you can check out a little bit more about what's happening at the library as well if you go to nli.ticketsolve.com. So that's kind of their ticket platform, or if you just search the National Library, you'll be sure to find them there.
You'll get it there all right as well. Yeah. Now, The Wheel, which is sort of an umbrella organisation for all voluntary organisations, they've got a free summit coming up.
They have indeed, yeah. So I know we've chatted to The Wheel before on the programme, and look, that whole sector kind of voluntary community organisations spans so widely, and something that, you know, obviously in Near as well we'd be quite connected to. But this coming Wednesday and Thursday, the 19th and 20th of May, they are hosting their free Summit 2021 in Croke Park, or probably more correct to say from Croke Park. So they're going to be bringing people and organisations together virtually who will be setting the agenda over the coming year and over the future, as we kind of rebuild and get back to normal life, for that non-profit sector. So they're going to be taking on questions like, you know, what is the role of a charity, a community, a voluntary organisation or a social enterprise in that new world? What kind of part will they play in shaping that recovery? And what is it maybe that we can learn as well from what our experiences have been over the last year? So maybe some things we wouldn't like to remember there, but lots as well maybe of new insights and new learnings that we can take forward for that whole sector. So they have 6 online events taking place over the course of Wednesday and Thursday, and they have a lineup of top speakers, discussion, debate, case studies and examples and advice there as well for people maybe who are thinking about their plans for the coming mile, and, you know, offering that opportunity just for people to get together to share their ideas and their learnings, and really, yeah, to look to the future now, which is great. So you can register for that by going to wheel.ie.
Great, yeah. It's great that we can all get access to these things very easily online now as well. Now, we're all being encouraged to get outside, stay outside, have an outdoor summer, and you have a suggestion that we could explore the great outdoors with National Biodiversity Week for 2021.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes. So it is the summer of the great outdoors, as they say, and they really are blooming now. I was just out in the garden myself this morning, and great to see. I think we've had probably a little bit more rain than we would like, but you know, it has kind of really brought things to life. And this is National Biodiversity Week, so what better opportunity to get out there and to explore all the different kinds of life that we have in the country. They have a host of wonderful events and activities taking place for all members of the family, and there really is that focus on kind of getting all ages involved and quite simple kind of fun activities. You know, they have a scavenger hunt online, they have a backyard bio blitz, they call it, so even something that you can do maybe in your own area or, you know, outdoors, you can explore your own area, the fauna, the flora, the wildlife that's there. Wherever it is, you know, in a cityscape or in a more rural area, the National Biodiversity Data Centre are there to kind of support you, and they can actually help to identify maybe some of the wildlife and some of the flora and fauna that you come across as well. So they are hosting a Photographer of the Year competition also. They've lots going on. Celebrating Nature is the opportunity to win up to €500 in cash prizes. So get your shots in. There's talks, there's workshops on everything from wildflowers to the coast, to bat box building. You can actually build a bat box as part of a workshop, and lots more as well, and all about just connecting with nature like that. So they have all the details on that at biodiversityweek.ie, and really well worth checking out. Again, you know, all in that theme of the great outdoors this summer, lots to check out there.
There surely is. And from bat boxes to hashtag backyard bio blitz. It's even hard to say, but it sounds really interesting and a really good excuse to get outdoors. And as you say, even in your own backyard, and see what's going on.
That's it. Well, yeah. That's where the world begins. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And for a long time, we couldn't go much further, but it's still worth checking out the backyard. The final event you have for us is coming up on Friday next. It's the World Day for Cultural Diversity.
It is the World Day for Cultural Diversity, not one that I was aware of myself, so it might be new to people, I'm not sure, maybe others have seen it, but it's the World Day for Cultural Diversity for Dialogue and Development, they say, and it's really all about kind of celebrating all cultures. I know I had a great chat with Francesca from the Mother Tongues Festival, and again, very much ties into that idea of bringing together the best of everyone's different cultural experiences and kind of living together in harmony, they say, but also I think, you know, there's great opportunities there to really enhance all of our lives, I think, in terms of bringing diversity together, celebrating languages and cultures. So the World Day for Cultural Diversity is specifically designed to help advance the goals of the UNESCO Convention on the Protection and Promotion of the Diversity of Cultural Expressions. And they have a day of free events taking place online this coming Friday. They're hosted by the UN. So there's some interesting kind of international, intriguing kind of things there that you can check out. There's an interactive exhibition of World Heritage Sites, including, I think, some a little bit closer to home. There's first-hand accounts from the managers of those sites. And you can join in a special edition webinar as well on using art for human rights and dialogue. So some real kind of food for thought there, I think, and maybe something a little bit different. And if you have a bit of time on Friday, well worth checking out. The link for that is quite a long one, because it's through the UN. The best thing to do there is probably search World Day for Cultural Diversity, and especially if that's something that particularly appeals to you, I think there'll be lots there to check out.
And it's interesting that it's part of the goals there for UNESCO as well, isn't it?
Yeah, very much. You know, they're very keen about kind of progressing, like looking at, you know, there's diversity in, you can kind of take it in a tokenistic way, but, you know, they're saying, talking about human rights, really grounding that in saying, okay, you know, what are we going to do to secure, to promote and progress that cultural diversity? So it's very much on the top of the UN's agenda as well. And, you know, I think it's something that works on a top level like that, but also in terms of just people in neighbourhoods, communities from, you know, all different countries that we have now, that is something that we can all enjoy and celebrate. And I know I'm going to get this wrong now, but it was the end of Ramadan recently as well, I saw, in the Feast of Eid, and
right,
I think
yeah,
that's one example. I've seen people sharing photographs of some of the meals and stuff that they've had, and there's just loads of new, maybe new to some people and not to others, but loads of really exciting and kind of engaging experiences that we can all have when we kind of open ourselves up to these things. So
Great.
Really fantastic to see.
Thanks a million, Sarah, as usual, for doing a great job on the events. And we're going to hear the chat you mentioned there with Francesca from the Mother Tongues Festival. She's the director of the festival. And we're going to hear that chat that you had earlier in the week with her right after this next piece of music. Thank you very much.
Thanks for that.
Take care.
Hi there. You're very welcome back to The Week in Review. I'm Sarah Birmingham, and I'm joined by Declan Raff and Ken Kilbride. Don't forget, if you have a story you'd like us to feature on the programme, you can get in touch with us here during the show by text to 087 69 44 500 or by email to weekinreview@near.ie. We're on Twitter too, @nearfm, @DeclanRath and #weekinreview. Well, did you know that the most recent Irish census showed there were over 72 languages with at least 500 speakers each in Ireland? These, along with arts and culture, are at the heart of celebrations taking place this coming week as part of the Mother Tongues Festival. The festival is the only one of its kind in Ireland, and it embraces the use of all the different languages spoken by people across Ireland. A programme of unique and diverse events in over 20 different mother tongues will take place as part of the festival, which runs from May 17th to May 22nd. And I'm delighted to be joined on the line now by the director of the Mother Tongues Festival, Francesca Lamorgia. And I hope I pronounced that okay, Francesca.
That's super, thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us. Yeah, so Mother Tongues, we had a brief chat there in terms of how the organisation kind of started off and how it has grown. So what's it all about as an organisation? How would you describe it?
Yeah, Mother Tongues does a lot of different things, but we tend to work mostly in education and in the arts. And some of our work really focuses on celebrating multilingualism in schools and in classrooms, supporting teachers who teach, for example, Polish, Lithuanian, Czech at the weekend, and also encouraging families to keep up their linguistic and cultural heritage. Because, of course, when you come and live in Ireland, the first thing you want is to integrate and to become part of our society. But at the same time, a lot of families are also understanding how important it is for themselves and for their children to retain parts of their identity. And so the festival, through art, through celebration, through just really coming together and sharing languages and cultures, is a way to all find each other and learn more about one another. And I find the language is a really interesting theme to me, of course, being a linguist, but it's something that really brings people together and gives everybody a space to express themselves.
When did the festival first begin in Ireland?
The first edition was in 2018. Okay. And it was quite small. We had 17 events, even though, I mean, 17 is quite a lot for a first festival. But it suddenly became bigger when we got the support of South Dublin County Council and Civic Theatre and Rua Red. And at the time, we were invited to run our festival in those venues. And for us, it was the first time in actual arts venues. And since then, the festival became, you know, it gained more and more support. And we, since the start, we got funded by the Arts Council. And obviously, every year, we have more and more artists coming to us and more ideas coming in, which is great. And also more diversity of languages. So, for example, this year, we have a whole strand dedicated to Irish Sign Language. And it's the first time we have so many events, either in ISL or there might be, say, panels, and we have interpreters. And so we're becoming more inclusive of different languages, and we're really interested in hearing more diverse sounds, you know, even getting languages that maybe we haven't showcased before. So we're always on the lookout.
That's really interesting. Like, how do you put together a festival, bringing together arts and languages, to kind of give people a really interesting program like you do?
The main idea, I think, is quite simple, because we ask artists to either propose a program or an event that is in their own language, no matter what that might be. So you might be, I'm just thinking this year, for example, we have a fantastic Brazilian artist who's a real expert in technology and stop motion tech. And so that's her area, but she's going to deliver her workshop in Brazilian Portuguese. So we have quite a lot of events that we run in this way. So they're like an immersion in the language. Then we have others that focus on language so that they're open to anybody who's interested in just trying out something different or being immersed in another language. So, for example, this year we have storytelling for babies in Irish, but everybody can come in and tell a story in their own mother tongue. And so that's open to really everybody. And we'll start from Irish and we don't know where we're going to end up. And so I think people have been really creative in responding to these themes. And that's why the festival is so good, because these are creative ideas that are just coming out of the artists' minds.
And it's so diverse and inclusive like that. And as you say, everything from sign language to different, all the different types of sounds. And like, what can people look forward to over the weekend? Just give us a little flavor of what's happened this year.
Yeah, this year the festival has more than 50 different events. So of course, given the circumstances, most of the festival is online. And so I hope people can come and join from anywhere in Ireland and beyond. As I said, within the ISL, Irish Sign Language theme, we have films with English subtitles. So I think it's fascinating to watch films in Irish Sign Language. So that's a real treat. And they are only available during the week of the festival, and so it's something that I would just definitely go and grab my tickets for those. We have an evening that we called Together in Harmony, which is a celebration of language, poetry, singing, and it's going to go from traditional Irish music to Ghanaian dancing. We also have an event called Perceiving Language, okay. Which is going to be around using your body to learn Spanish. So that, again, that's open to anybody who's willing to give it a shot and try something different. Afro-Brazilian dancing offered by Go Dance for Change, and that will be delivered in English and in Brazilian Portuguese. And of course, with the Irish language being the national language, we're going to have an evening where we're going to have a laugh around how well or how badly we speak Irish, how much we believe we can or cannot speak Irish. And it's going to be with comedian Áine Gallagher. So it's going to be a fun night of reflection about the Irish language for adults.
It sounds like there's going to be a lot of honesty involved there in terms of how people are. But, you know, whether it's Irish or whether it's like from a different to keep up their language and make it possible for children, you know, have you any kind of tips? I guess I'm sure we could talk for a whole hour about that, but what's the best way maybe for people to just even dip their toe into the world of learning another language?
I think the first tip would be just go for it and forget about embarrassment, forget about your own beliefs about being a good or a bad learner. We're all potentially good learners of a language. And if we do it, of course, people go at it for different purposes. So you might want to learn a language just for the fun of it. And some other people might really have a goal, like maybe getting a job or traveling. And two things would be just not worrying too much about making mistakes, but actually trying as much as possible to enjoy it. And also, I said it already, as much as possible. So to become good at anything, you want to practice. And so if you find yourself having an opportunity to use the language, then use it. And this applies to Irish very much, you know, there's plenty of opportunities now when the society will reopen for people to practice Irish. And a lot of people would say, oh, but my Irish is not very good. And if you find a place that is inclusive, where people are happy to, you know, to take in most, you know, if you go to an Irish language cafe, there'll be different levels. So everybody will have their own Irish, their own skills, and everybody will be very welcoming. So I would say just to try it out and use it as much as possible and not feel bad about making mistakes or pronouncing words in a way that's different. And it's part of life. Learning things takes time.
Because it's quite different as well to school, isn't it? Like, I think, you know, remember back to learning languages in school and having to kind of learn things off. And, you know, it can be quite fun as well. And definitely if people would like to try out some of the wonderful fun events that you have coming up as part of the festival over the week, do they need to get tickets or where can they get more information about them?
Yeah, the festival website is mothertonguesfestival.com. So plural, mothertonguesfestival.com. And the program is all there, and all the tickets can be got via Eventbrite. They start from free for many of the events, and or as little as €3 or €4 for some other events. And we have a festival pack as well for people who want to get a physical, tangible feel for the festival. But also, I think it's important if you are around Tala over next week, so 20th, 21st and 22nd, we'll have the only live, physical, real event where people can actually paint together with obviously the right limitations and the right safety measures. We'll build together a collective canvas with poetry in different languages. So if anybody's passing by Rua Red or the Civic Theatre, you'll find artists Hina Khan and Thomas Maschkatz for the whole of the 3 days, 20th, 21st and 22nd of May, painting away, and you can join in.
That sounds fantastic. I think that's a good opportunity for people can travel around their county now to get down there and have some fun. And thanks so much. Really appreciate you joining us today. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And thanks a million again to Francesca and to Sarah. So now, before we finish, I want to let you know about some jobs and volunteering opportunities that are available locally. I take these from the activelink.ie website, where there are literally hundreds of opportunities every week. Now, in fact, this week, there are 25 requests for volunteers and 318 job offers. Let's look at the volunteering one first. Extern is one of the leading charities on the island of Ireland. They provide an unparalleled range of supports for individuals, children and families living with issues, including family breakdown, homelessness, problem gambling, problem drug and alcohol use, and mental health issues. They also support refugees, the traveller community, and people living with an offending past to help them to change their lives. They're now seeking to appoint board directors with the skills to positively contribute to their mission of creating opportunities and providing supports to enable everyone to have meaningful lives and to participate in society. Now, if you want to express your interest in that, you can do so confidentially by sending your CV via email to ruth.thompson@extern.org. And the closing date for expressions of interest is Friday, the 4th of June at 5 p.m. So to the job offer today. 24-hour Care Services Residential Division was set up to meet the high demand of places required for young people who need to obtain a residential placement. The company are a medium to long-term placement for young people between the ages of 13 and 17 of mixed gender who are experiencing emotional and behavioural difficulties. They are currently recruiting social care workers on a full-time and part-time basis. Now, you must have a Level 7 qualification in social care, applied social studies, or a suitable equivalent. Relevant experience as well is required in the residential setting for young people that are in care, and you need to have a full driving licence as well. Now, to apply, you need to submit a cover letter and your current CV to Claire at 24hourcareservices.ie. That's Claire with an I, C-L-A-I-R-E. The closing date for receipt of applications is the 27th of May. Well, there you go. That's it for this week, for the Week in Review. Thanks a million to Ken and Sarah for all their help today and for their work during the week, and to all our contributors indeed today as well. Don't forget, if you have an item you'd like me to feature on the programme, you can contact me via email, weekinreview@near.ie. You'll always get me on Twitter, @nearfm, @DeclanRalph, #weekinreview. And we'll all be back at the same time next week. So for now, for me, Declan Ralph, I'll see you soon on the radio. Bye for now. Bye-bye.